Clap your hands unto the Lord.
Let's give the Lord a praise tonight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Have your way tonight.
Oh, bless the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Lord, the Holy Ghost. Have your way.
Everybody say, for the kingdom of God.
It's not meat and drink,
but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hitherto, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap, would you? Appreciate the spirit of joy that the Holy Ghost brings to us. Those verses collaborate that, of course, that we read with you in Romans 14:17, and Jesus said in John 16:24, and Peter in 1 Peter 1:8, and then of course Isaiah 12:3 and Nehemiah 8:10 all tell us something, that religion's not dry and long faced, and you don't have to be somber and sober. There's joy in this. I mean, not manufactured or falsified, not tinsel, not plastic. It's real joy. Hallelujah! You don't have it, I recommend you receive the Holy Ghost tonight. It's wonderful. Shake hands with your neighbor and say, have you got real joy? Have you got real joy? Real joy! Hallelujah. We welcome our visitors tonight, all of you that are here, though we don't know you by name. We appreciate your attendance along with your good pastor. And we thank the Lord for the good spirit that's here tonight. I wonder, would there be any who would care to raise their hand that you'd like to have the Holy Spirit baptism tonight? You just would desire the Lord to fill you tonight. There's two right there. Three. Oh, wonderful. God bless you. You got close last night. You just keep after it. Anyone else that would like to have the Holy Spirit baptism tonight? There's another one right here. Well, now you that are seeking, don't wait to be begged. You know God's got this promise for you. But you don't have to wait to altar time. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Acts tells us that, 10:44. And that's the apostolic way. There's no Bible for tarrying for the Holy Ghost anymore after the day of Pentecost. Now that's the way I got it, but you don't have to come down here and tarry. Believe and receive. Right where you're standing, right now, God could baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! He can do it!
Glory, glory, glory!
Open your Bible tonight, if you will, please, to the book of Luke chapter 11. And we're going to preach from verse 8. a remark that Jesus made about a story he used for an illustration. Jesus' stories, some of which were parables, are like windows. They let light in on the subject that he's talking about. It also reveals the mind of God toward a certain subject. Now, I believe that you're here tonight because you have a desire concerning things spiritual, and we appreciate that. We're glad you're here. And we want you to know that God wants to be to you what he has already written in his word, a comforter, John 14:18. He wants to come in and take up residence, Christ in you, Colossians 1:27. He wants to live in you, Galatians 2:20. Christ liveth in me. Now let's examine what Jesus said here in the book of Luke chapter 11, and share your Bible with the visitor, particularly if they have none. Luke 11 and verse 8. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now this is a conclusion to the story Jesus used. You must understand the story, of which we will talk about later. Let me read this again. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, Everybody say importunity. He will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Evidently, friendship didn't get what the man needed. Evidently, it took importunity to get him what he needed. And everyone say importunity. That's what I'm going to preach about tonight. Say it again. Importunity. Look at your neighbor and say, I hope you got importunity tonight. Now, I mean that.
What is importunity?
You listen, I'm fixing to tell you. That's what I'm going to preach about. Everybody say, importunity. You will learn that that will open the latch strings to the door of God's blessings.
Oh.
Our Father, which art in heaven, we come to you right now.
Hallelujah.
Open the hearts to understand your word tonight. Bless everyone present. Fill someone with the Holy Spirit. I know you will. Help them to see what they need to do. And everybody said, in Jesus' name,
Jesus.
You may be seated. Use this mic here. Now, to begin with tonight, we're going to define the word importunity. It's a Bible term. You can go to a dictionary to have the understanding. Being persistent in a request or demand. Everybody say persistent. Insistent. Refusing to be denied. Everyone say refusing to be denied. Annoyingly urgent or persistent. Now let me just briefly review. Persistence in requesting or demanding. Persistence. Insistent. Refusing to be denied. Annoyingly urgent in requesting or demanding. The sum total, then, of this word, importunity, means I will not be denied. Jesus, you said it. That settles it. I believe it. I'm going to stand on it, and you've got to do it.
Amen.
Somewhere, you're going to have to reach that place in your life, or you'll never attain the walk with God that you desperately need. It involves your will, your desire. You're going to have a talk with yourself. God loves me like He loves anybody else. Acts 10:34, He has no respecter of persons. God that cannot lie. Titus 1 verse 2. It is impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6:18. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 and 8. I am the Lord, I change not. If the Lord said He would be something to men, He will be it to me. And whosoever surely meaneth me. Revelation 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That includes all and excludes none. It boils down now to your desire, to your will. If you want the Holy Ghost, you can have it. If we want revival, we can have revival. But there's more to it than the singing and the hand clapping and just the emotion. We reach that point in our desperate determination. Lord, you said it, and I'm going to keep knocking. By that, we are going to keep persisting, being insistent, refusing to be denied, and annoyingly urgent or persistent. We're going to hang with it because, Lord, you cannot lie.
Amen.
Now, all of this will work for you wonders in your personal life if you'll apply it. For the devil wants you to think God doesn't care about you. Not a whip stitch. You're nothing but a computerized number. You're just a blob of humanity. He don't really have any sympathy for your sorrow and hurts. That's a lie. He wants every one of you in here to be happy. He wants every one of you in here to be healthy. He wants every one in here to have the Holy Ghost. He wants every one in here to walk the street of gold and go to the New Jerusalem. He wants everybody in here to be saved. Now there's proof for that statement. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Who will have all men to be saved. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. 6:37 of John. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jesus said, 11:28 of Matthew, come unto me all. That is inclusive, not exclusive. All that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So get it out of your mind that the Lord don't want you. He wants to save your soul. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Luke 9:56, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. John 10:10, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. John 12:47, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Now get get it out of your mind that you cannot receive the Holy Ghost. That's a lie. Get it out of your mind that you can't quit your smoking, drinking, lying, dope using, fornicating, adulterizing, homosexuality, stealing. Get it out of your mind that bad habits forever has you bound. That's a lie. Jesus, and Brother Hankins mentioned it, declared ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But this boils down to your personal will. The devil would like for you to sit there and have the attitude, well, the Lord knows that I desire the Holy Spirit, or the Lord knows that I would like to see this church have revival, or the Lord knows that I would like to be healed, or, you know, so here I am, Lord, just any time you care to, just pounce on me. I'm waiting. And you just sit and sit, and that's what you'll be doing 10 years from now. Sit and sit. You'll be going and sitting. Let me show you something. 3:20 Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and don't open the door, I'll kick it off its hinges and come in anyhow. No! If any man hear my voice and open the door, that's an act of your sovereign will. Please believe me now and hear me. God will not work against your will. If you don't will to worship or will to obey the gospel, if you don't will to come to church, if you don't will to hear the word of God, don't worry, he's not going to put it on you. You've got to have a will that says, I hear the knock, I'm going to answer the knock, I'm going to open the door. And he said, if you'll open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Over 30,000 promises in the Bible. May I submit to you that Jesus is going to keep every one of them because he is not a liar. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Proverbs 30 verse 4. Add not thou unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Jesus himself, John 10:35, said the scriptures cannot be broken. So I'm submitting to you, if you'll do your part, God will do his part. But somewhere in your physiological, psychological makeup, somewhere down inside of you, you're going to have to reach that crisis moment, that moment that you've got some kind of a baptism of importunity, that you're going to hang in here and you're going to keep knocking and keep seeking and keep asking, because God will do for you what he's done for anybody else. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Luke 18, verse 1 through 4. Now, what is that teaching? That's teaching importunity. That's teaching persistence. That's teaching being annoyingly urgent in a request or demand. That's teaching refusing to be denied. Man, if I didn't have the Holy Ghost, I'd be up here. You wouldn't have to hog tie me. You wouldn't have to drag me. You wouldn't have to sing. I'd be up here every time I had a chance, and I'd be praising God and asking God, show me what I need to do that I'm not doing. I want your Holy Spirit. Now in Luke chapter 11, verse 1 in your Bible, the Bible said, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. May I submit to you, Your children might graduate from college, or you yourself might be personally tremendously successful. But if you don't know how to pray, that is, touch God, you're an ignoramus tonight. Because there will come crises, points in your life. If you don't know how to pray, you're in big trouble. But if you know the knack, if you know how to get a hold of God when you desperately need to get a hold of God, it's worth more than money anytime. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. He didn't begin the prayer by saying, give me or give us this day our daily bread. Too many times we pray, we start out by a good case of the gimmies. Give me this, give me that, and give me the other. We should start our requesting with praise. Hallowed be thy name. The Lord's Prayer begins with praise and it ends with praise. That's the way we need to approach God. We enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Now that ought to tell some of you sitting there, inscrutable as a sphinx, or more like a hoot owl on a tombstone, that's just sitting there. That ought to tell you something. You're not going to get anything from God. You're going to have to somewhere. You're going to have to start hallowing His name. You're going to have to start worshiping Him. You're going to have to start lifting Him up. Somewhere, you're going to have to come out of that straitjacket that you're in and start lifting up the name of the Lord. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now this, of course, is Luke's version. Others go on to say, thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. I'm not analyzing the Lord's Prayer. I'm just saying it is a formula or a method to teach us how to approach God. You worship Him first. You ask for His will next. And then you get down to your personal needs. It's funny that when you lose your own selfish interests and start putting the interests of others ahead of your own, how the Lord loves that type of attitude. And if we want revival, we must be concerned that others around us have revival. We want everybody to have the Holy Ghost. I want you to be healed. I want God to answer your prayers. I'd like to see some of you smile. I'd like to see some of you have Holy Ghost joy. I'd like to see you be blessed. Hallelujah. Now the Bible said, he goes on here now and tells them a little story. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight. Midnight. What an hour to go and visit somebody. Probably most of you'd be in bed by then. And say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now this word friend is a peculiar word in that real friends are hard to find. I seriously doubt that you'll have over 4 or 5 real friends in all of your life. I'm talking about the kind of Proverbs 17:17 said, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother's born for adversity. And 18:24 Proverbs speaks, of course, of the Lord. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And here this man went to his friend's house, thinking, if anybody will help me, my friend surely will help me. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. It's funny how that word lend or loan kind of freezes up the plumbing, doesn't it? It's just kind of funny when you get that word, I need, or would you help, comes out, that the rigor mortis sets in, and that look of frozen horror comes on their face, that you're about to ask them to do you a favor. So long as you don't need any help, or they're your friend, you know, good time Georges and finger-popping Franks, you know, as long as you're on the top of the heap and the sun's just shining and everything's going well, man, they slap you on the back and they love you, but you get down to where you need some help and they thin out. Well, he went to his friend and he said, friend, lend me 3 loaves. This is a very peculiar word in that it means more than just casual acquaintance. Even Judas, think about this. The Lord, though Judas fulfilled prophecy, Psalms 41 and verse number 9, fulfilled in John 13, 18, Matthew 26, 50, when Judas went out and betrayed the Lord, Jesus said, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Even in this hour of betrayal, Christ looked to him and said, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" And he told his disciples in John 15, 15, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." So there is a relationship with God that is a dimension past casual acquaintance. Some of you sitting in here, church is but somewhere to go when you don't have a time or place to go anywhere else. On Easter or Christmas time, or sometimes when the dedication of a baby, or just to get someone off your back that's been persistently and insistently and refusing to be denyingly and annoyingly urgent, in other words, importuningly, asking you to come, so you come, get them off your back. But church is not anywhere to receive anything great. You see, your acquaintance with God is casual. But if you can ever receive that dimension of friendship with God. What was Abraham called, my brother and my sister? Isaiah 41 and 8 and 2:23 of James. What was he called? A friend of God. Oh, that's what I want to be, don't you? I want the Lord to feel, if he could speak to my heart, say, "Get up and pray an hour in the middle of the night," I'll get up and pray an hour. If he speaks to me to go to a certain place or do a certain thing, I'll obey unquestioningly what he says to do. So this man goes to his friend's house and he says, "Friend, lend me three loaves. Lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me. And I have nothing to set before him." In other words, a traveler, an acquaintance, a friend of his, passing through the country, came to spend the night. And the custom there, of course, always was hospitality for the wayfaring stranger and traveler. And they were going to fix something for them to eat. And lo and behold, they hadn't done their grocery shopping. And there wasn't anything to set before them. But he says, "Wait a minute, I got a friend. He won't mind getting him up. He'll help me. He's my friend. He'll not grimace. He'll not frown. He'll not blast me out. He'll willingly, cheerfully, wholeheartedly, he'll just give me what I need." And so he just runs over there and says, "Friend, lend me three loaves." And he was standing there waiting. Well, he'll be here in a minute. And then that voice comes to him. And he from within shall answer and say, "Trouble me not." Now, can you imagine the reaction that this man had standing on the outside of that house waiting for his friend to come and give him the three loaves, and he could go back to bed and he'd go home, now take the three loaves and feed his friend that came for a night's lodging, and I'm just waiting. And then that voice says, "Trouble me not. Trouble me not." I want to tell you something. I wouldn't want to serve a God that wouldn't get up and answer prayer in the middle of the night. I wouldn't want to serve a God that would only love me when I had some money in my pocket, when I had health in my body. I wouldn't want to serve a God that would only smile on me when everything was going good. I want to serve a God that would actually come to my rescue and would help me at all times. But this voice says, "Trouble me not, trouble me not. The door is now shut." Well, the man standing out knew that. He said, "I know it. It's right here. It's between you and me. And my children are in bed with me. You know, kids are in bed. And I cannot rise and give thee." Now, translated means, I don't want to get out of the warm bed and put my warm tootsies on the cold floor and have to go open that cupboard door and get you three loaves of bread and pity-patter over and open it up and give you those three loaves. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be bothered. In other words, go away. Go away. That's what he was saying. Now, you can come here tonight and pray. And you can seek God and not feel a thing. I'm not going to lie to you. I have prayed and sought the Lord and didn't feel a thing. And I'm going to be further honest with you. I have clapped my hands and raised my hands and sung with all my heart and didn't feel a thing. Now, this goes across some people's belief because they say, well, there's no way. I'm going to be honest with you. I have preached many times and didn't feel a thing. In season, out of season. Now, my point is this. I didn't quit singing. I didn't quit preaching. I didn't quit hand clapping. I didn't quit raising my hands. I didn't quit and give up and go home and say, he don't want to help me. I stayed right there at that door. And I knew he had what I needed behind that door. And I knew that if I could only get his attention to open that door, my troubles would be over. Woo! Hallelujah! The Bible said, the voice declared, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Now what are you going to do about it? Some of you want to seek the Holy Ghost. I think some of you were seeking us here before. Well, I praise God for your determination. I just hope the rapture don't catch you here. But anyhow, let me submit something to you. Don't get discouraged. I'll make a bargain with you. If you'll pray as long as I preach, I'll preach as long as you pray. Some of you come up here and you say about 15 or 20 hallelujahs. Well, you ain't going to give it to me tonight. I guess I just want to go home. You come to church, you'll sing the first part of Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, and nothing happens. So I ain't singing anymore. You clap your hands once or twice and no 10 legions of angels flutter around saying, Hosanna to God in the highest. I ain't going to clap my hands anymore. You raise your hands and, oh, them arthritis joints are feeling terrible tonight. You say, well, I tried. That didn't feel nothing. No lightning hit my hand. I guess I'll raise my hand anymore. Slowly but surely, you degenerate into that solidified state of bondage. And now you're sitting there not worshiping. It's happened to you service after service. The devil has brainwashed you. He has put it in your mind. There's no use to you preaching and praying and singing and shouting. It won't do a bit of good. But hear the word of the Lord. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. My! What do you think got the man out of bed? It wasn't friendship. I'll tell you what got him out of bed. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. 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 Go away. I ain't going away. You got the bread and I need it. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. I'm in bed. I know you're in bed. Get out of bed. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Shut up. You'll wake up the kids. I don't care if I wake up the neighborhood. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Don't you know the door is shut? Yeah. But I know if I keep this up, it'll open. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Isn't there a lesson in that for us? Importunity. Persistence in requesting or demanding, insistent, refusing to be denied, annoyingly urgent or persistent. Don't you have that idea tonight what I'm talking about? You can't come up here and just go through the motions. You got to forget what people think. You got to forget about tomorrow. It may never come. You got to stand there and say, Lord, you said I could have the Holy Ghost. Lord, you said we could have revival. Lord, you said you could heal. Here I am and here I stand. Friend, lend me three loaves. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now what is Jesus saying? And I say unto you, ask. Ask. Come on, open them jaws up. Ask. And it shall be given you. It didn't say think on it, muse on it, contemplate on it, yoga it. It didn't say stand on your head. It didn't say go to some Himalaya hideout for some bearded youthful guru to squat on his heels and try to teach you some Far Eastern meditation. It said ask. Open your jaws up. If you want healing, tell him you want it. If you want the Holy Ghost, tell him you want it. If you want revival, tell him you want it. If you want encouragement, if you want strength, if you need a prayer answered, open up and tell him. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone, not every other one, everyone. Everybody say everyone.
Everyone.
Look at your neighbor and say everyone.
Everyone.
Say it again.
Everyone.
Sounds a little like Simon when he was talking on the day of Pentecost, telling the people that they should repent in Acts 2:38 and be baptized, every one of you, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now get it out of your brain that God won't give you the Holy Ghost and he's the saddest, or he's trying to make you squirm like a worm in hot ashes, or he's trying to make you hold out until the last moment. No, 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 no. If you could get some importunity, brother, sister, if you could get that importunity, if you could say, now God, you said it, that settles it, I believe it. Here I come! Here I come! Here I come! Here I come! And if I don't receive it tonight, I'll be back tomorrow. And the next time, and the next time, and the next time, and the next time. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Notice, asketh, seeketh, knocketh, or continuation senses of asking, seeking, knocking. It doesn't mean you just ask once. 40 years ago, I asked the Lord of the Holy Spirit baptism, and he didn't see fit to give me the Spirit, and I haven't asked him anymore. You need some importunity. You need to take a lesson from a car salesman or an insurance salesman. You need to take a lesson from some of these Shapley Vitamin Tear salesmen and some of these Hoover Vacuum Cleaner salesmen and a lot of salesmen. Persistence, you know. Insistence and refusing to be denied. You need to get a little bit of that attitude about you. Come on now. For Jesus said, everyone that asketh, seeketh, knocketh, that's continuation. That don't mean give up. Now some of you, I kind of feel giving up too quick. The Lord will help you. Those of us that he's helped, would you say a lusty amen?
Amen.
The Lord will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Those of us that's already received it, would you say a hearty amen?
Amen.
Man, I had the same battle. The devil told me I couldn't get the Holy Ghost. There's just no way. It was some mysterious gift out there in the wild blue yonder that was unattainable. And I sought the Lord and said, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's about all I could say. It's hallelujah, hallelujah. And I said, glory to God so much. Yeah, glory to God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. 2 hours in a stretch and didn't feel a thing. I don't lie about it. I didn't feel one thing. Slapped me on my back, said, man, you got close, did I? I didn't feel like I was any closer. I just exhausted, that's all. That's right. But I came back the next night and got ready again. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm not telling you any fib. That's the truth. 3 long months, man. Every time they had service, I was there. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Make a long story short, the night I got it, I went to pray at the conclusion of Bible study, asking if I could come forward and pray. Raise my hand and ask the preacher, you care if I pray tonight? Of course, he wasn't going to say no. I went down there and got ready to knock on the door for the umpteenth time. I was getting ready to seek again for another 2 hours. I'm in. I was just getting ready. I was there 3 minutes. I wasn't there 3 minutes. And the door was open and I got the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, it works. 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 You good saints, allow me to make this casual observation. We go around the seekers at the altar, and I've been guilty as well as you, and say to them, hold up, turn loose, hang in there, brother, keep seeking. God will do what he said he'll do. Now, I've done just about exactly that, and so have you. We need to take a dose of our own medicine. Because here we come all discouraged and down in the dumps in our letters and mail to the local garbage heap, chins on our shoelaces, and God's forgot us, and we can't have revival, and there's no way that the Spirit's going to fall. And we sit there froze up in spiritual rigor mortis, and we need to take a little of our own advice. Hang on. Turn loose. Stay in there. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Man, when that song leader gets up here, or whoever's singing, man, we ought to just turn loose and let it go. God's able tonight.
Amen.
If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Would you care to stand up? Let's say you want a piece of bread. And you see it on the stove, and you say, Dad, could I have a piece of bread over there? Do you think your dad would say to you, now, son, there's a rock I just picked up outside. You can put some butter on it and jelly, and that's good enough. That's all I'm going to let you have. If your father loved you, do you think he'd give you a stone instead of bread? Why wouldn't he? Because he loves me. You may be seated. Amen. The brother behind you. Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Now, I like fish. Let's say there's some fish left after supper. You come in late and you see that fish. And you say, Dad, could I have that last piece of catfish or crappie? Could I have it? Do you think your dad would say, now look here, boy, I just caught a wad of moccasin out there, and we've got a couple of rattlesnakes we ran over on the way home from work. We'll fry them up, and you can eat them, be glad you got. Do you think he'd give you a serpent instead of fish? Why? Because he cares. Because he cares. Or if he asks an egg, would you stand up, young lady? Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? I don't know if you like eggs or not. You like eggs? Okay, she likes eggs. Let's say you ask your daddy, could I have a couple eggs, Dad? You think your dad, if he loved you, would say, now, daughter, I'm going to tell you something. I got some scorpions. How do you like your scorpions? You like them scrambled or sunny side up? I'm going to get you some scorpions. You think he'd give you scorpions today? Why wouldn't he? Because he loves me. Now, friend, there's a lesson in this. Here it is. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? To them that ask him. Once and for all, ought to remove from your mind the devilish thought. Better be careful going up there. Something might jump on you you don't want. Or get in you that's not good. That's of the devil. And you sit back and say, I'm afraid now of what might happen. You ought to get that out of your mind. For the Lord said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. Now you all know what I'm talking about. You moms and your dads. Them children of yours come up with that pitiful looking on their face. They need an extra dollar or two. You turn your pockets inside out. Don't sit there and tell me you won't, because you already have. And you'd go help them. You'd do it because what? You love them. What Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? How much more? How much more? Shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now the key is asking. I'm challenging you right now. If you want something from God, get up, come down here, and start asking Him. I want you to come with importunity. I want you to come with persistence. I want you to come with urgency. I want you to come with desperation. I want you to come being urgent, annoyingly urgent. Don't sit there. Don't stay there. If you want something from God, get yourself down here right now. You want the Holy Ghost? Come on. You want something from God? I want you to come on right now. Right now. Here's your chance. Get up and come. Come. Friend, lend me three loaves. Friend, lend me three loaves. Friend, lend me three loaves. That's right. Those of you that are still out there, if you've got a desperate need in your life, I want you to come up here and stand right now. I want you to come with importunity. I want you to come with desperation. Everybody stand with us, if you will, please. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want everybody to come close to the front at will, please. Everybody come forward. Come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on right now. Come on right now. Thank you, Jesus. I want all you down here at this altar, stand up, please. Everybody stand up that's kneeling. I want you brothers to take a brother by the hand. Sister, reach over and take a sister by the hand. I want you to raise that hand up with yours right now. I want you to help these people pray that's standing by you.